I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What drives you? Think about that. What drives you? It's a two-parter. Rarely have a two-parter. Special Sunday. Second question, where are you driving others? What drives you? Where are you driving? Because like Nathan said, we're all driven by something or someone. I mean, we're driven crazy, right? Driven up a wall. Driven to distraction. Driven to drink, right? I've even heard that God preferred a Plymouth because Adam was driven from the garden in his fury. I can't even look at you. I couldn't not say it, but I can't look at you for a second. Millions of books have been sold to help believers to be purpose-driven. It's all about what is driving you. So what are the driving forces behind your daily decisions? What drives you to do the things that you do? Here's the thing. Got to go around the barn to get to it. I have the nicest compliment after first service. A fellow came up and he said, I just want to say, that was like the Bible in a nutshell. And I thought, oh, what a nice compliment. So here you go. We got it. It's the Bible in a nutshell in order to get to the answer, because the first thing you got to answer is this. What's it all about? What's it all about? Everything. What's everything all about? Seems like a fairly big question, I know, right? A lot of opinions on that, I'm sure. But it's really not. It's kind of really obvious once you realize what it is utterly not about. It's not about you. It's not about me. Because we were created for by Him all things, which includes us, of course, were created by Him. Oh, and for Him. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Therefore, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. So, to seek one's own glory is not glory. So what's it all about? One word answer. Him. Him, right? Amen? Magnify Him. So why then do I so often tend to make it about magnifying me? Or you? You. Why do we seem to make it about magnifying everything but Him? And I suppose that's because mankind, by and large, is driven to seek a sense of purpose, right? Problem is, we usually begin at the wrong end. Us, ourself. And it's a big mistake, because focusing on me prevents me from finding meaning. And you know why? Because it's not about me. And it's not about you. And think just logically. Think about it. It only stands to reason that created beings can only find their reason for being by seeking their creator's reason for creating them. Right? That just makes sense. So if we believe in a creator, well, then that should be our overriding driving desire to figure that out. Which is why to seek one's own glory is not glory. Which is why King David said to the Lord, when you said, seek my face. You know, the face that no one can see. If anyone sees my face, he'll die. No one can see my face. And then he tells David, seek my face. And so David says, when you said, seek my face, well, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And he wrote about it. And a lot of it's prophetic. And his face was finally found. And the prophecies all came to pass in Jesus. For God made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so understand, it may be all about him, but it's all because of you. So we need to do an about face with all our heart, because I'm telling you right now, success and fulfillment are two very different driving forces, okay? Success comes from attaining what others admire or desire, right? Whereas fulfillment, very different. Fulfillment comes by attaining your reason for being. Like, oh, I'm living on my created purpose. So what's driving you? The astronomy made little sense. We get it, but that was only because of a discovery. Astronomy made little sense until we, mankind, realized planets must revolve around the sun. And then suddenly it all made sense. Well, the same goes for us. Life is senseless till we realize we must revolve around the sun. Because it is only through him that we could ever hope to find our true identity and significance and purpose and destiny. And those are big things, right? Yeah. But that's the only way, because there are only two eternal drivers, God and you, us and God. Those are the only two eternal drivers, and both are driven by one truly, purely powerful driving force. Say it.
Love.
Love. Love. Which is why you are called to be a driver. I don't think I've ever told you this story. It's a great story. Pops was here first service. He loved it. When I was 18, Pops, I was working at the wrecking yard. Pops was away for the week. And the Mount Vernon School District called to take bids for two old buses. They were retiring. And so I didn't know how much, and I didn't really want to. And I didn't want to get in trouble. So I just said, 100 bucks. And I remember changing it to 105. I don't even know why I said it. 105. It doesn't make any difference to the story. But the next day, they called back to say that I had been the only bidder. And I got two 75-passenger school buses for 105 bucks apiece. And so I went up to Mount Vernon to see how in the world we're going to get them to the wrecking yard. And the mechanic came out from the bus garage, and he told me, just so you know, that one was picking up students yesterday. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just it's old, and we're upgrading. Really, there's a driver. There's a drivable bus. So I went to the office at the school there, and I wrote a business check for the other one. And then I wrote a personal check for the drivable one. And then I drove. There it is. And there's me in all my permed glory. Then I drove in my car straight to the DMV and got myself a bus driver's license booklet and studied it in the parking lot. And just read and then ran back in and passed the test. Because that's all it took back then. It was the dark ages. And then I went to the surplus store in Mount Vernon. What was it called? The old surplus store? Oh, come.
Northern Sales.
Northern Sales. Thank you for being old. Northern Sales. You're in my group. And I put together, because they had all military outfits and stuff, and I put together what I thought looked like a bus driver's uniform. And then I came back home and I called the shop's insurance. I said, we need to put a bus on the insurance. And they did. Okay. And then I drove around that night just picking up friends. And then when I ran out of friends, we picked up their friends. And it was so much fun. I still have my hat. It's the one thing I kept from it. Here's my old bus driver. I think he's 44 years old. Yeah, Jackie Gleason. Here I am. Okay, we would pull up to someone's house, and I would honk the horn, and they would come out and go, what's going on? And I'd lean out the window and say, I got us a bus. And then we'd just go. I'm pretty sure I had the original party bus, the first one. I was their Bobby Rocanello, if you recall Noah's sermon from last Sunday, making things happen. Okay, all that to say this, it was incredibly fun and fulfilling to drive others when your only destination is joy and laughter and love, relationship. We didn't have any place to go. We had the time of our life not getting there. We were just picking each other up. There's another friend. Let's get them on the bus. Let's get them. And the more we got on the bus, the more fun it was. Which is why you are called to be a driver, to offer others the ride of their life. And literally the ride of life. Joyride like no other. That's a joyride. Which is why a self-centered, self-orbiting life is ultimately empty and unfulfilling and no life at all, no matter how successful you may or may not become, because you were created. You have a creator. Your creator wasn't created for you. You were created for him. For you, Lord, created my inmost being. Yeah, you know, mom and dad carried out the act, but God thought of the whole process. He's the one that came up with it. This is all about him. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and it's not like God was there with the knitting needles, but no, you did that. You created that process. That's all you. He says, so I praise you because, wow, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That makes me feel loved. I'm made. Your eyes saw my unformed body. How precious to me are your thoughts, oh God. You loved me before there was a me. You know, now a lot of people were unplanned. I should ask you to raise your hands. I don't know if that embarrasses you or not, but if you want to, raise your hands if you were an unplanned baby. Oh, look at y'all. Yeah. If you were not unplanned, you likely know somebody who was. I can't believe how many people came up to me after first service and either said their child was unplanned or they were. So I know it's a lot more than just raise their hands. My grandma, I should tell you this inappropriate story. My grandma, this is my Pall Mall Rainier beer moo-moo wearing grandma, just to keep the two apart. And I love my grandma, but man, she would say whatever was on her mind. And my grandma, whose wedding anniversary came quite a bit less than 9 months before my aunt's birthday, her oldest daughter's birthday, used to say, and my aunt hated it when she said it on just about every birthday that my aunt had, well, first kid only takes 6 months, but after that, it's the usual nine. Oh, don't act so shocked. That's funny. If you were unplanned, hopefully you were treated as a happy accident. You ever heard that? A happy accident or a wonderful surprise or my favorite, I mean, it's horrible. The best mistake we ever made, right? Those are awful, but because it can still feel like nice ways of saying you're illegitimate. And maybe you were wounded by that. And I know that some of you were. Especially if your parents didn't want you. But that's what we get if we kind of forget our true creator. Because it wasn't your parents. Because he wasn't surprised. Okay? Yeah, much better.
I love it.
So your biologicals didn't plan it. They're just your biologicals. Your father sure did. He wasn't caught off guard. Way before you were conceived down here, accidentally, intentionally, or howeverly, you were first conceived in our Father's mind and heart. You know why? We're told to express his love. He wanted to love you. You see, he didn't need you, and that's actually freeing. He didn't need you. He chose to create you because he desires to love you. You know why? Me neither. I don't know why. No, I'm just serious. It's because God is love. It's just what he is. And look at this. This is how God showed his love among us, right? So that he could show us that he's love. He sent his one and only son, who was also God, into this world that we might live through him. Oh. There's the through him. And the Father chose us in him before the foundation of the world in love. He predestined us for adoption. Please understand what we teach here. That is saying he predestined the process of adoption, not the individuals that are going to be saved. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. His death didn't come as a surprise. And it was all according to, here it is, the purpose. The purpose. It was all according to the purpose. The purpose of his, your Creator's will. So there's your reason for being. Your truest identity is God's child. Your significance was set by God's own death. Your purpose is just to get some friends on the bus and drive them closer to adoption. Your will be done on earth. Because our destiny is to love and be loved eternally. So we got to be grounded in his love as learned from his word, because that's the place we learn it. That's where he speaks. That's where he tells us what's on his mind and in his heart. It's got to be the driving force at the center of our life, because if love doesn't drive us, something else will. Lust, pride, jealousy, deadlines, painful memories. Take your pick. The list is infinite. So what's driving you?
Faith.
It's a good faith. What do you say we take a look at what I think might be our top five bad driving forces? Well, you don't have a choice, so. The number one most common, I bet you'd make a different list than me, but this is my list. I think number one has got to be guilt. Guilt. The old skeleton in the closet. So many spend so much life pointlessly running from regret and shame while at the very same time hiding both of them in their heart. Well, hide the guilt and shame. Hide all that there and then run from it. It doesn't make any sense at all. But that's why guilt-driven people allow the past to control the present. And of course, the future. And everything. It's awful. But wow, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Yeah, the writer says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away in the closet. Then I got smart. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. And you forgave the guilt. You forgave the guilt of my sin, and it was gone. But here's the thing. The Lord's unfailing love in this only, wraps its arms around the one who trusts in him. There's no question, you and I, we are products of our past, but hey, we don't have to be prisoners. I mean, how many of my old sins have I told you about, and we've all had a good laugh at what an idiot I am? Every mistake you've ever made can help someone else. Our Heavenly Father is a conscience-clearing phenomenon. It's his specialty. Just let him do what he does. I mean, if the blood of bulls and goats sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh back in the Old Testament, how much more the blood of Christ, who offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from, the dead work stuff to serve the living God. And I'll tell you, if guilt-driven folks are first on the list, close seconds. I went back and forth on second place, but I think close seconds got to be the anger-driven, because you're a lot angrier than you think you are. So I have a question: when you are overcome with anger, do you clam up or blow up? Which one are you? Tell your neighbor.
Both.
If it's both, you tell them both. Yeah. Yeah. I myself, I'll confess, I clam up and clam up and clam up and blow up. It resets itself that way. It's really nice. Have you ever said, I'll never forgive them for what they did? Well, pardon my French, but that's about as stupid as drinking poison so that they will die. Because resentment is only deadly to the anger-driven fool doing the resenting. And I use the word fool and stupid because that's what the Bible says. Simply put, look at this. Resentment kills a fool. Just say that out loud with me. Resentment kills a fool. Which doesn't mean resentment won't kill you if you're smart. It means no matter how smart you happen to be, you become a fool when you hold a grudge. So if you're holding a grudge, you're a fool. Sorry. Let it go and be wise. Otherwise, everything you think is smart is turned into foolishness. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer. I'll prove that God thinks it too. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer. And he who formed, just a reminder, he who formed you from the womb, I'm the Lord who makes all things and drives diviners mad. He's talking about the rebellious who don't listen to his word. But isn't it nice to see that even he drives people crazy? Drives diviners mad and makes their knowledge foolishness. But who confirms the true word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. So lean on that stuff. Lean on that. Another deadly driving force, approval, right? Because we were designed to need approval, but only from a loving father. But as we all know all too well, approval-driven people are controlled by the opinions of others, reducing often their quality of life to the likes of a performing seal. Hey, so no matter what, that just seems like how he would sound. So no matter what the voice inside your head has said, take this home, please. If nothing else, take this home with you. You are not a mistake, and you have nothing to prove. I'm just going to say it again. I'm not going to have you say it because I want to say it at you. This is, just listen, let the Lord speak through this truth from his word. You are not a mistake and you have nothing to prove. So stop performing. You're not a seal. Okay. However, you have been sealed, because here's a funny play on words. God has set his seal of ownership on us. You get what that means? God looks at you and says, it's mine right there. That's mine. That's mine. He also said, in this world, you will have trouble. So the next time you have trouble, don't say, where'd God go? It's the same God. Put his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And I'll tell you, if we don't live in and live out his love, we will be driven to seek approval somewhere else in order to fill that void. But whenever we settle for something less than God or in addition to God, we end up really resenting the one whose approval we thought we wanted, right? Because no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. And there's only one whose approval is infinitely selfless and loving and utterly satisfying. So we're either seeking that or some other much lesser disappointing source. Which brings us to greed. Number four, the driving force of the disappointing source of stuff. Greed-driven people desire to acquire and succeed at any cost, but including the cost of our own fulfillment. And here's why I put this in the top five, because every one of us begins by believing, we all do, by believing that more money, more power, and more stuff will make us more satisfied and more secure and less afraid. But somewhere around our mid-30s, almost everyone comes to realize that that's not true. So why do we keep living as though it is? Because we're driven by the wrong thing. We're driven to make the destructive mistake of connecting self-worth with net worth. Even though deep down, we all pretty much know our value can't be determined by our valuables. True satisfaction and significance and security can only be found in that which can never be taken away. And Jesus couldn't have made his thoughts on this one more clear, saying, life is more than food, and the body more than clothes, and extrapolate that out for everything else. The pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But, you know, first and foremost, seek his kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. For don't you get it? Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock. And that little flock brings us to fear. Our final top five driving force. Fear-driven people are confined and tortured in a self-imposed prison of dread. But isn't it time to break out? Haven't you suffered enough at your own hands? So escape already. Release yourself to the reality of the reason you were created, to be loved and to love. Do that, you'll drive out the driving force of fear, because first, our Father, your Creator, is love. We just read that. And is perfect. We're told that. And as you might already know, perfect love drives out fear and guilt and anger and approval and greed. Because perfect love is perfect. But until you see it and embrace it and center your daily life around it, you will continue to allow the force of fear to keep you from becoming the true you that you were created to be. Because you were created to be loved. You were created to know that you are loved. You were created to be driven by his love. Which is why that has to begin with him. Because he himself gives all man life and breath and everything else. And God did this so that, it's always nice when he explains himself. God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, well, and thereby our reason for being. Which means, and we'll end on this, there is no such thing as illegitimate children. They don't exist. Just illegitimate parents. And that's only if they were rotten, you know. And that's only because of how they were driven to react to the reality of that situation. So what's driving you? And where are you driving others? Because I can guarantee that he is always driving you closer to him. And I know that that's where we're called to drive others. Because for us, it's all about him. Because for him, it's all about us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you, sing to you, worship you as the center of our life. Holy Spirit, inspire us and drive us to orbit our lives around your driving force of love. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you because our reason for being is all about you. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.